A reading from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. The one who sows a small number of seeds will also reap a small crop, and the one who sows a generous amount of seeds will also reap a generous crop. Everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver.
Thank you, Amy. Justin really said everything there is to say about it during the children's moment. But, Justin, you get to hear it all again. I want to say for those of you who are visiting us this morning, I want to say it right up front that I am not a bragger, unless it comes to my children or my grandchildren or my friends or my coworkers or my neighbors or my church. I think we here at BUCC have quite a bit to brag about. And today's message is as much about the heart and soul of our church as any I've ever delivered here. So if you are visiting with us here today, I hope you'll understand and forgive me if I get just a little bit personal with our regular folks. And by the end of it, you may even feel like you've wandered into the wrong place. That is, unless you're comfortable being around a bunch of daredevils who sometimes miss the landing ramp and break every bone in their bodies, and then get up and do it again. I'll admit, I don't consider myself to be a thrill seeker. Some folks here may be. My daughter Casey, some of you met her, she'll do it. She's a daredevil. She'll ride any roller coaster, any thrill ride. She'll bungee jump, hang glide, any of those things. Nowadays, she's a mother of a 5-year-old boy and a set of 2-year-old girls. So personally, of course, I think she's a daredevil every day of her life. And those of you who are in the classroom, I feel the same way. And some of you are just like them. You wake up every day to a new set of challenges, some of them pretty heavy. Your choices are either facing those challenges head on, pretending they're not real, or just retreating. But the pretend and the retreat are not really honest options because the challenge doesn't go away. Unpaid rent and bills that are overdue today will still be overdue tomorrow. Unsettled business or tension in a relationship that's not dealt with today will still be unsettled tomorrow. So when the alarm goes off in the morning and the challenge is still there, it's not only still there, but it's likely even more urgent than it was the day before. At the risk of being a down and outer, I want to say what I think many of us have been thinking lately. We're living in a challenging world today. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. This world's a mess. Now, I know that every generation says the same thing. They say the world has never been in the shape it's in, and they've never seen anything like it. Those of us who've grown up in church, especially the more tightly wound evangelical church, we've been hearing all of our lives about the coming end of days and how the signs of the times are upon us. Doomsday preachers and teachers have been saying it for generations, and I've often wondered how those older generations have felt. I wonder if they felt misled when things kept moving along and the world didn't actually end. But for many of us, that kind of teaching kept us terrified, which in truth was probably part of the intent. But just as true is this. This world really is kind of scary. And sometimes I wonder if God even cares. I'm going to confess something this morning. Sometimes I wonder if there is a God. I know that as one of your pastors, I shouldn't admit such a thing, but it's true. And it's dishonest of me for a man who strives to be a person of integrity and asks for your trust to lead you to believe that I do not sometimes fight through my own crisis of faith and wonder, what is the point of praying? What's the point of praying for a world that doesn't seem to be getting any better? Sometimes when I pray, I feel like no one is listening. Sometimes when I pray, I'll actually say, God, if you're there, and if you do, if you care, I have a need today. I have a friend with a need today. Someone I love really needs you today. Sometimes I feel guilty when someone asks me to pray for a need they have, and I find myself trying to appeal to a deity that I'm not even sure of. I'd like to take some comfort in knowing that many of the spiritual giants who've come before us and who are still with us have expressed their own moments of unbelief. I'm reminded that Mother Teresa once said there were times when she could not sense God's presence in the world at all. That's good to know, because sometimes I just don't believe that God exists. How could there be a God when there's so much injustice and hunger and death and pain and anger, hate and greed in our world? When thousands of religious saviors are recognized around the world and none of them seem to be doing any good. As a matter of fact, way too often it's all of those different religions and religious beliefs and understandings that people will use to justify the killing and the abuse of others. I have trouble trusting that there's a God that has the cure for cancer and AIDS and all of the other diseases, but doesn't seem to stop any of them. I have trouble believing that God cares when injustice seems to rule the day and the people in power who can do something about it won't. And often even try to shut down those of us who want to at least try. I have trouble putting hope in a God who supposedly can make it rain, but seems to stand by as drought takes hold and children starve. People starve. And then there are the people of God. Those who have an audience because they have a camera and a microphone. They take to the airwaves and declare that God condemns me for who I love, but not them for who they don't. They tarnish the truth of God's authentic love by attaching conditions to that love that Scripture and Jesus never ever mentioned or intended. They hijack the message of Jesus' love and service and replace it with something that really only serves their own purposes. This world's a mess. And I can see why anyone wouldn't want to believe in a God who's supposed to have control of it all. And simply by way of association, I can see why anyone wouldn't want to have anything to do with us. People who are angry with God are usually just as angry at those of us who choose to serve and love and walk in God's name. But in all honesty, their anger at God and humanity really has nothing to do with us. And it really has nothing to do with God either. It has more to do with the voices they choose to believe. All the unfortunate things going on in our world that I just mentioned, they're true. And they really are unfortunate. But that's not all that's going on in the world. Like most, if not all other churches, BUCC has its own set of challenges. But the biggest one that we have right now is how do we serve everyone who has a need? Just to go ahead and get this out of the way, the truth is we never will. But that certainly doesn't mean that we stop trying. Why would we not serve or minister to that one person in a million just because we can't serve all the rest? Even with NOSH, there will always be hungry people within an arm's length or a stone's throw from our doors, maybe even right here in our own church family. But do we stop feeding those we can because of those we can't? There'll always be someone right here in our city who's in need of a coat or a blanket. So when we have the opportunity to provide warmth for those who are cold and exposed in another city, should we ignore them until everyone within eyeshot or earshot of our church is warm? BUCC has a history of compassion. We show it, we exemplify it in so many ways, often in ways that most folks will never know about or see. When the phone rings or a message comes through and we're made aware of a need, our little church often steps up and does what some of the larger, more capable churches in our community won't. When the call comes from someone we've never met, we don't investigate to see if they deserve to be ministered to. We simply are not concerned with what that person looks like, smells like, who they share a bed with, what color their skin is, their heritage, their dialect, or their accent. We do care about their condition, physically and emotionally, as much as spiritually. They who are as much a beautiful creation of the God we serve as we are have a need. And we who are no more deserving of God's goodness than they, if we are capable, will help meet that need. So, I'm going to do a little bit of that bragging now. Our city, our world, needs more churches like BUCC. I'm going to admit it, sometimes our heart is bigger than our budget. As much as we want to be a place where everyone can come to find what they need, sometimes we're bound by limited resources. Don't get me wrong, we do a whole lot for a small congregation. We feed hungry school kids and provide winter coats, gloves, hats, blankets, and scarves for those in need. We help build habitat houses and step up to help refugee families. We spend countless hours showing up, supporting, advocating, even fighting for the rights of LGBTQ and other misunderstood and marginalized communities. We cut the neighbor's grass and we volunteer at schools. We assist struggling families with their utility bills. We collect clothes and personal care items for men, women, children, and babies in need. We open our doors and provide food and rest to traveling missionaries. We don't just talk about it, but every Sunday morning we put feet to our words when we invite anyone who is hungry to pick up some soup on the way out the door, because we believe that no one should ever be hungry. We minister to hearts and heavy spirits. When Pastor Marcia or I or our elders get the call or a message from someone who's in need, we put personal ministry into motion. We head to the hospital or wherever the need is, and we fill the very real need for spiritual care. This church might look small, but the work we do is monumental and very meaningful. I understand what the Apostle Paul was trying to say to the church at Corinth and the passage that Amy read to us today, when he encouraged them to sow as generously as they possibly could. It makes perfect sense that the more seeds you sow, the more you'll reap in return. But I also remember a story that Jesus told about a widow who was poor, but took great joy in giving what little she could to the work of God's plan. Compared to others, it wasn't much. But she gave generously and with gladness. Jesus thought it was a big deal. And God was madly in love with her. Not because of how much she gave, but because of the spirit in which she gave. So, to those of us who wrestle with whether God is or isn't, whether God is paying attention or not, whether God cares or doesn't, I would remind us that a crisis of faith is a part of our journey of faith. It's not wrong to question sometimes. Regardless of what you've been taught, regardless of what you've been told, regardless of where that theology came from, and I've never figured that out, it is not wrong to ask God questions. Sometimes it's healthy and robust. And usually when we get past that crisis of faith, and personally, I have. That doesn't mean I won't be back, but I have. And it's part of that journey. And sometimes it's healthy and robust, and it's usually healthy and robust when we're feeling better about ourselves and about our world. And then sometimes it's a challenge to find any faith at all. But faith is the reality of what we hope for And it's the proof of what we don't see. We certainly hope for a better world. We hope for an end to hunger and poverty and violence and injustice. We hope for clearer, more thoughtful heads to prevail in our governments. But whether we see evidence of it or not, this little church that's full of believers who sometimes doubt, this church full of winners who sometimes lose, our little church full of daredevils that sometimes crash, this church will always be authentic and dogged in its drive and determination to sow as generously into this messed up world as it possibly can. And we'll do it with joy and with gladness. Now, today's scripture doesn't say at all that God hates an angry giver or even those who don't give at all. But what it does say is that God loves a cheerful giver. And even if it's not always a lot, BUCC certainly is and will always be a cheerful giver. Let it be so.